Open our Bibles together, please, and we turn in the scriptures this evening to the book of John's Gospel and the chapter number 5, the 5th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Let us open the scriptures together, please, and read the word of the living God. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. They asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who he was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. We end our reading there. We know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just commit our service and the preaching of the word to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thou knowest how much tonight I am totally reliant upon thee. And every time the preacher comes into the pulpit, I realize, O God, our Father, that it's not by any might or by power of man. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I pray tonight that thou wilt take of thy precious word, for that's what we have read. And we pray that thou wilt, by thy Holy Spirit, apply it to the hearts of those that are gathered here, young and old. Thou knowest every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every young person, every older person that has come to this meeting tonight, and thou knowest the condition of their heart. And O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, search out their hearts tonight. And for those that are still without thee, bring them to Christ. And those that have wandered, we pray that thou will restore them and bring them back to their first love. We pray for the enablement and empowerment of the Spirit of God upon this preacher as he just preaches the word that thou hast given to me. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, claiming the covering afresh of the precious blood of Christ. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. A few moments ago we sang that lovely old chorus, It is no secret what God can do. In actual fact, that little hymn was written by a man called Stuart Hamlin. He was born in the year 1908. Stuart Hamlin was a young man that whenever he started in the life, he went out into the acting world. In actual fact, Stuart Hamlin acted with John Wayne. I don't know whether it was in one of his shooting movies, but that's where John usually was in. But Stuart Hamlin was in the acting world, and through the acting world and the fame that followed from it and the success that came with it, he went down into a life of gambling and also a life of alcohol. In the year 1949, his wife asked him, implored him to attend a gospel meeting in Los Angeles. And there he heard his need of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're told that Stuart Hamlin gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ and sought to live for him. He gave up his acting, he gave up his drinking, he started a radio program, an actual fact, he had a radio program going, until one day the sponsors
demanded him that he would promote alcohol on his radio program, and he said, I can't. And so they pulled the sponsorship away. He started to go around the United States of America talking to young people about the things of God. And in 1951, he wrote the words, it is no secret what God can do. Matter of fact, I'm told that the basis of that was he was speaking one time about what the Lord had done in his life, and he was speaking to John Wayne. And he was telling him what Christ had done in his life, and some of the other actors, and Wayne listened to him carefully, and they congratulated him what the Lord had done in his life, but they said, of course, that's you, Stuart. It couldn't happen to me. And in reply, Stuart Hamlin said these words, you know, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for me, can do for you. It is said that John Wayne said to him, sounds like a song, Stuart. And he wrote the words, it is no secret what God can do. Then I want to show you tonight, as we open this passage of God's Word in John chapter 5, what the Lord is able to do. And what the Lord Jesus Christ did in this man's life physically, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do a miracle in your life spiritually. And I pray that ere you leave this gathering tonight, that you want to come and that you'll call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to picture the scene. We're in the land of Israel. We're in the city of Jerusalem. And there in the city of Jerusalem, we find that there is a pool place. It is called the Pool of Bethesda. It is a place that the Bible tells us in verse number 2, it is by the sheep market or the sheep gate. That was the place where the sheep were brought to be sacrificed at the temple. And lying there around the pool were a crowd of people. The Bible says in verse number 3, in these lay, that's in the five porches, there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. And there amongst that great company of people there, lying with all the tragedy of their lives, there lay a man. And we'll look at him in a moment, friend. I don't know his name. But what I do know is this. What God did for him in grace, God can do for you as well. And I want us to look tonight at this passage of God's Word, because I believe that what we have here is a beautiful illustration of the transforming power of the grace of God when God reaches into lives and He changes their lives completely, that they will never ever be the same again. This man never was the same again. And friend, let me tell you, if you come as a sinner to Jesus tonight, I want to tell you the Lord Jesus Christ will change your life. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says, He maketh all things new. And you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if any man be in Christ, the Word of God says, he is a new creature, a new creation. And the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, before we come to the man, and we want to come there, I want you to see just exactly where he was. And I want you to notice, first of all, the pathetic cases. Look at verse number 3. It says, in that porch there at the Pool of Bethesda, the five porches, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, and they were waiting for the moving of the waters. And so here we find a multitude of people lying there. That's what the Word of God says. And they were impotent folk. They were men and women, perhaps, that were totally helpless. They were of themselves without strength. And as far as their physical condition was concerned, my friend, they were lying there and they were helpless to do anything for themselves. I want you to look further than the physical condition of these people, and I want you to see the spiritual condition of every man and woman without Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you are tonight, and that's the position you're in tonight. If you are without the Lord Jesus Christ, the description of these impotent people, these pathetic cases, is the very picture of the sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ. The word impotent comes from the same root as the word impossible. And friend, let me tell you, humanly speaking, it was impossible for these people to do anything for themselves. You've come to this meeting tonight, and I want to tell you, it is impossible for you to save yourself. It is absolutely impossible for you to do anything that will merit a place in heaven. It is outside yourself salvation must come. And these were people, it was humanly speaking impossible. But praise God, my friend, what is impossible to man is possible with God. There is no one too hard for the Lord. And I don't care who you are tonight, I want to tell you, your case is not too hard for my Savior. There is not a man or woman. The devil may say to you, friend, as you lie down in your sin, the devil may say that you are without hope. The devil may say there is no hope for you, that you're a case that nobody can do anything about. And the devil, the Lord Jesus says, is a liar. Because praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse from all sin. And in reality, there was nothing these people, it was impossible for themselves to do anything to save themselves or to cure themselves. And they needed help. They needed salvation outside, or the cure outside of themselves. And thank God Jesus came that way. And here I am tonight in Ballymoney, and thank God, I want to tell you good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can save you. Word of God tells me that He saves to the uttermost. Have you got it, friend? He can save to the uttermost. In other words, there's not a man in Ballymoney. There's not a woman in Ballymoney. That's too hard for Jesus. He can save to the uttermost. All that come unto God by Him. Now let's look at these impotent folk. This is what the Lord says about it in His precious word. He says, they were impotent folk. They were blind. You know, blindness is an awful thing. You and I know nothing about it, perhaps, and the vast majority of these people are in this meeting tonight know nothing of blindness, but blindness was a great problem. In the time of Christ, blindness was a problem that the Savior encountered many times. You'll find that there are four miracles recorded in the Scriptures that deal with blindness. But friend, let me tell you, there's something deeper than the blindness of the eyes, the physical eyes. Fanny Crosby, and you can read the lovely hymns that Fanny Crosby wrote. Let me tell you this. She had a blindness of the eyes, but praise God, the Lord shone a light into her soul. And when you read her words, when you read about it face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When you think of all the hymns that she would pen in the blindness of her eyes, but praise God she had spiritual sight. Here I see in this picture, my friend, the spiritual standing, the spiritual state of those without Jesus. And you see, the man in sin is blind. He can't see his condition. He doesn't see his lostness. Left to himself, he will never see his lostness. He will always feel that somehow in himself there will be some hope. In the blindness of the day of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, they were looking for Messiah. And when the Messiah came, they didn't recognize who he was. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. You can set a man with natural eyesight, my friend, down with his Bible. And you can read him the great truths and the great doctrines of the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, of himself, he will not have the spiritual understanding. There has to be the opening of his eyes spiritually by the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to understand the truth of God. You know, you can understand therefore how easily men and women can be deceived. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he was asked the question, what shall be the signs of the last time? You know what the first one Jesus said? He says, just you beware that no man deceive you. And there is a great delusion, there's a great deception out there in the spiritual world today that somehow that man can live as he likes, he can go on as he likes, and somehow that God will close his eyes to his sin and he'll welcome him in through the pearly gates at the end of the journey. It's a spiritual deception. And the devil will blind your eyes, my friend, and he takes you down into hell itself. Remember Nicodemus. The Bible tells me Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders of that day. And yet Nicodemus, Jesus turned to him one day and he said this. He said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Here was a man who was a great religious teacher, and he thought the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about some natural birth. Can he get a second time round? You see, of man's self, he cannot understand the great truths of the Word of God. And Nicodemus thought in natural terms about the supernatural. And the Lord Jesus Christ instructed him, and he said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You must be born of God. He was a man who was eloquent in religious teaching, in his religious philosophy. But in his natural state, he was blind. He couldn't see it. Dear unsaved man, if the Spirit of God doesn't open your eyes, you'll remain in the situation you are, blinded. Blinded by sin. Blinded by the God of this world. And you'll continue on. And you'll trip over the precipice down into hell itself, eternally lost. And the Christ is beyond. It says they were blind, these impotent people. And then the Spirit of God says something else about them. He says they were halt. In other words, they were lame. They were crippled. He was a man that was crippled. He couldn't walk right. He didn't know what it was to walk upright. There he was lying upon the bed. And he couldn't walk right. He was crippled in his feet, unable to walk. Let me tell you, my friend, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. But you of yourself, my friend, and me of myself, I can't. I couldn't walk right. Because sin had crippled me. Sin had deformed me. The Word of God says this in Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I remember a dear old lady when I went to Belfast first as a student. And I was Dr. Pace's assistant in the Ravenel Church. And there's an old lady, lovely elderly lady. She lived in Ballarat Street. Her name was Miss Armstrong. I remember the first time I ever went to see her. I was a young lad whenever, believe it or not, I had youth one time. But I was a young lad when I went there. I was just about 19 years of age. Remember going down into this, and it was the first time, you know, I'm a country fellow. I'm from the farm. City, you know, folks are somewhat different than the folks down in the countryside. But I went there into this little house down in Ballarat Street, and I sat down in this little home, and I must confess, I never seen such a little deformed body. This lady was deformed completely with arthritis and with just everything just seemed to be. Her fingers were all twisted. Her body was just wrecked with pain. She was sitting there. She couldn't move. I was there to minister to her because I was the assistant in Rail there that time. Let me tell you this, I never forget this. I remember going, we talked together, and she was asking about my background and about where I came from and all the rest of it. Then we talked about her situation. We talked about the things of God, and we opened the scriptures, and then we prayed. I never forget that little room we're sitting in. And I'd just finished praying, and I'd talked to the Lord and committed Miss Armstrong to the Lord. And I remember this, a little deformed hand coming on the top of my head. And she said to me, son, just keep your head bowed, son. I want to talk to my Lord. I want to tell you, my friend, I was humbled that day. Because that wee woman sitting in her corner couldn't move, and her hands completely and body completely deformed. I'll tell you this, she knew the Lord in a wonderful way. She started to pray. She started to praise the Lord. She started to thank God. You know what she said? She said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the way I am. Lord, I'm not able to go places, but Lord, I'm able to spend time in your presence. I'm able to spend time holding up the arms of the man of God when he goes into the pulpit and the missionary goes to the foreign field. And I can pray and seek your face. Friend, I must confess, that wee lady was deformed as far as her body was concerned. But oh my, she was rich in the fullness of her strength in the Lord. And the Bible tells us that you, my friend, you can't walk right because you have been crippled by sin. You can't walk with God, young man. If you're walking according to the course of this world, the Bible says you're walking according to the walking of the children of disobedience. You're walking in rebellion against God. Sin has destroyed your walk. And the Bible says not only were they blind and were they halt, it says they were withered. In other words, not only could they not walk right, they couldn't work right. The man with the withered hands, and it affected their hands and they became useless. Let me tell you this, my friend. This man was paralyzed. And he lay there and he couldn't walk and he couldn't work. His hands were useless. In other words, he couldn't do anything, even if he wanted. And spiritually, that's your position, friend. You know, there are people that try to do to please God. They try to do things and good things to try and please God. Friend, let me tell you, the Bible says this. There is none righteous. No, not one. The Word of God says that all your righteousness, you see all the best deeds that man tries to do, the Word of God says all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. I know this congregation is very friendly with Dr. Bill Woods. And you love him in the Lord. I remember I went to Brazil. And I went to the leper colony. I was taken there by Dr. Woods. I was there at some of his operations. I remember I went to one of his surgeries and this woman came in, a leper patient. And I remember she came in and I must be honest, as I sat there with Dr. Woods in the surgery, there was an awful stench from that woman's body. And you know, I looked and I noticed that there were parts of her body and there were wrappings around it and they were taking it off. And friend, let me tell you, the smell, the stench of it was awful. And I looked at those filthy rags and they threw them away. You know what God says? That's your righteousness. And yet men and women think that they are saying, God, here's what I've done. Look what I've done. And Lord, look what I've done for you. I've tried to help in the community. I've tried to be a good citizen. And you present this to God, friend. And the Bible says, all your righteousness are as filthy rags. Dr. Woods threw those filthy rags away, friend. And let me tell you this. That's exactly what God did. For you, if you stand in your sin, God will cast you away from His presence into the outer darkness, into hell itself. And I want you to notice, friend, lying amongst that crowd of people, blind and impotent and halt and withered, I see a man. The Lord Jesus comes along that day and He fixes His eyes upon a man and he's been lying there for 38 years. Miserable, hopeless, friendless, and the disease is destroying his body. 38 long years. And he's lying in a multitude of people. But the Lord Jesus said this, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be. The road to hell is crowded tonight. And men and women do not see themselves as the impotent and the halt and the blind and the withered. they see themselves completely different because the God of the world has blinded their eyes. They see not their lostness. What an awful tragedy. What an awful position. You see, my friend, the Bible tells us, if you look at it in this same passage of God's Word in verse 3, they were waiting for the moving of the waters. They were waiting for something to happen. Something to happen. Let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for? People sitting in this service tonight, friend, and you've heard the gospel for years. Tell me, what are you waiting for? I hear people say to me, well, you know, I'm waiting for a call. I'm waiting for, just as if you know that somehow the God was either going to put a trumpet to their ear or electrify their spine or somehow that they're going to have just, you know, this great sensation. Friend, is that what you're waiting for? Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know that Christ died for sinners? Do you know the Word of God says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death? Do you know that the man or woman who lives without Christ and who dies without Christ is going to hell? Do you know that the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from your sin? What are you waiting for? What more is God to say to you? Is God to slap you in the head? Take a mallet and thump you over the head? Is that what you're waiting for? These people were waiting for the moving of the waters. But here, secondly, is the powerful call. Not only the pathetic cases, but the powerful call. Because come verse 6 quickly. When Jesus saw him lie, well, thank God Jesus comes along. Thank God Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to change the situation of this poor man. Because Christ makes the difference. Then only Jesus makes the difference. Only Jesus can change your situation. Only Jesus can save your soul. Only Jesus, the blood of Christ, can cleanse you from all sin. Only Jesus can take you to heaven. Christ is the answer. Remember some years ago outside Tomb Bridge, there was a family where a young man was a member of the security forces that I knew very well. And you know, that family, when he was on the security forces, they were always, you know, afraid that, part-time member of security forces, he drove a lorry. They were always afraid that somehow that something would happen to him, that the IRA would come and they would shoot him. Mother would get up in the morning early, would give him his breakfast, and Mother would see him off there to the door and wait until the lorry would start, and then she would hear the lorry go away, and she loved the Lord, and she would thank God once again that he was safe. Until one morning the young man went out as usual and got into his lorry, and he started the lorry. And all of a sudden, Mum had just went down to the room. She went to lie down, just waiting, just to hear the lorry go and be sure that he was way safe. And all of a sudden, she heard the rat-a-tat-tat of the gunfire. And naturally, you can understand, she jumped up on her bed to go out to help her son. Friend, the reality was this, that as she was getting out of bed, one of the bullets came through the bedroom window. And Mother was shot. Mother lay back in her bed and Mother died. The son was spared. But Mother died. I remember going to that home and bringing the Word of God to that family. And I remember the day whenever I walked into the room, Dr. Alan Kearns had just written a little booklet. You remember the little booklet, Christ is the Answer. And I remember when I looked and stood at the side of Mother's coffin. They're just lying there on the top, where underneath would be Mother's hands, was this little booklet for everybody to see that came into that room and into that home. These words, Christ is the answer. I want to tell you, he still is. He's the only answer. He's the only one can heal your broken life. He's the only one can give you a song, because the psalmist said, He drew me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goal. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Yes, the Lord can do that. It is no secret what God can do for what He has done for me. Praise God, my friend. He can do for you. And Jesus came. And the Bible says in verse 6, Jesus saw him lie. Now there was a multitude of people. But the Bible says Jesus saw him lie. He saw him lie in his hopeless condition. And Jesus came to heal. Jesus saw him. He looked upon him. And let me tell you, the Lord Jesus looks into your heart tonight. And I want you to notice what it says there. Look at verse 6. Jesus saw him lie, and Jesus knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Jesus knew all about him. You know, people try to hide their lies from God. Let me tell you, they're only fooling themselves. Let me tell you, God knows all about you tonight. There is nothing about your life that God doesn't know. There's not a sin that has stained your soul, but God knows about it. It may have been done in the darkness, but let me tell you, as far as God is concerned, it wasn't in the darkness at all. It was in the light of the eyes of God, who says, it searches your heart. Thou God seest me. I think that's a wonderful thought. And a fearful thought. Thou God seest me. Thou knowest me altogether. God knows you. And when the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon this man, I want to tell you this, he didn't only simply see just what he saw at that moment. The Bible says he saw a man, and he knew he had been a long time in that state. In other words, he knew about the 38 years of his broken life. And his broken body. Jesus knew all about him. He knows exactly where you have come from tonight to this meeting. He knows maybe you're the sheep that has gone astray. You once sat like the prodigal at the Father's table, but you're back out there in the far country, bringing shame upon the Father's name. Thank God, not only did Jesus see him, and not only did Jesus know all about him, it says, Jesus saith unto him. Jesus spake to him. In other words, the Lord Jesus reached out to him. And I praise God tonight, the Savior is reaching out to sinners in Ballymoney in this gospel mission. Jesus, healer of broken heart, the hymn writer says, heal this heart of mine. And Jesus Christ, who was rich in mercy to sinners, he stopped by that day. Oh, that you'd hear the Savior speak tonight. He spake, he saith unto him. And notice what he said. He said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Let me tell you this, man. The Lord Jesus was talking personally to him. Personally to him. You know, sometimes people think that the preacher is preaching personally to them. I want to tell you, quite often the preacher knows nothing about you. But the Holy God of heaven and the Spirit of God knows all about you. And we are glad whenever the Spirit of God makes it personal to you. Remember, a wee woman came to our meeting some years ago. Her daughter brought her. Her daughter was very concerned about her aged mother that was not saved, not ready for eternity. Remember, one night she came to our meeting. And after the meeting was over, she was walking down the steps, down to the car park, and the mother stopped the daughter, and she looked at her in the face, and she put her finger into her face, and she said, listen, you'll never do that to me again. She says, Mother, do what? She says, "You'll never do that to me again and make me a fool again." She says, "Mother, what did I do?" She says, "You told the preacher all about me." She says, "Mother, honestly, I've never spoken to the preacher about you." And friend, that was true. But God knew all about her, and let me tell you, God dealt with that woman as if she was the only person there. And the Lord Jesus looked at that man and he spoke to him. He says, "Wilt thou?" And I think it's very important for us to realize there's the personal challenge, because he was speaking personally, individually to him. Sad reality is that that woman said to her daughter these last words. She said to her, "And you told him all about me, and I want to tell you, you'll never make a fool of me again. I'll never be back." And the sad truth was this: she never was. Shortly after that, in the middle of the night, a visitor came to that little home where that woman lay alone, and the visitor was death. And God called her into eternity. "You'll not make a fool of me." Maybe you think tonight the preacher's preaching at you, friend. I want to tell you, the preacher knows nothing about you, but God knows all about you. And I'll tell you this, I'll say this honestly before God, friend. I would rather that you faced what God knows about you now, that you would seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near, than for God to reveal it at the day of judgment when you're going out to hell. Now, you can be the card and forget about it and push it aside and say, "Listen, well, I'll not listen to that anymore." I want to tell you, Jesus Christ spoke to this man. He said, "Wilt thou?" Man said to me this: why did the Lord pass by all those others and say to him? Friend, let me tell you, that's the grace of God. I don't know why the Lord spoke only to this man, but I'll tell you, this man was glad he did. Why did the Lord call Matthew? Why did the Lord call Zacchaeus? And there was a multitude around him, and Jesus stopped under the tree of Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down." Why did the Lord Jesus Christ go into that graveyard and shout out there whenever they pulled back the stone of the door and said, "Lazarus, come forth"? Why didn't they call them all forth? God called that man. And it was a call of grace, because let me tell you, there was nothing in that man of himself that made him different than any other. It was the particular call of God to him. And friend, tonight as you sit in this meeting, oh, that the Spirit of God would call you. God doesn't save in crowds, friend. It's individually. God deals with you individually. And God picks you out and God calls you out personally. Lord Jesus Christ asked him a strange question. People say to me, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Somebody said to me one night, says, "Preacher, was that not a dumb question that the Lord asked?" Let me tell you, friend, the Lord never asked anything dumb. Don't insult the Lord. God said, "Adam, where art thou?" Adam was hiding. God knew exactly where Adam was. God knew exactly what Adam did. But the voice of the Lord God called Adam, and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" And he brought Adam out to confess that he had tried to hide himself from God, and he tried to hide himself with his own garments and the works of his own hand. You know, there's some people who don't want to be healed. I've met them in society. Let me tell you this. There's some people like the sympathy. There's some people like the attention. Some people wouldn't like that they had it to be removed off the benefit that it brings. You say, that seems to be strange. I want to tell you, friend, it's true. And be honest, there's some people don't want to go to heaven. Of course, they don't want to go to hell either. But they don't want to forsake their sin. They love their sin. And they want to keep their sin. And the Word of God says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. hymn writer says, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. Can I ask you, are you tired of your sin? Are you sick of your sin? Do you want the burden of sin lifted? Do you want the chains of sin, the fetters of sin broken? Where was this man? He was at the pool of Bethesda. And the word means the house of mercy. House of pity. Oh, thank God for God's mercy. Thank God for God's grace. God gracious to us. He gives us what we don't deserve. God's merciful to us. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. This man lay at the place where there were five porches, five in Scripture, the number of grace. Oh, God's grace reached that man that day. And the Lord Jesus says, wilt thou be made whole? Let me ask you a question, very personal, friend. Do you want to be saved? Do you? Do you really want to be saved? Some of you have said for years, why are you not saved? Why are you still without Christ? Why are you still wandering on in your sin? Jesus said to that man as he lay there, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Notice his answer. He said, Lord, I have no man to put me into the pool. He looked to man. And he found he failed. You can look to man tonight, friend, and let me tell you, man will fail you. The preacher can't save you. The church can't save you. Your baptisms can't save you. Your confirmations can't save you. Your religious rituals or rites can't save you. Your good deeds can't save you. You can look to man as much as you like, friend, but I'll tell you this, there's not one who will take you through the pearly gates. He says, there's no man. And then he said this, he says, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. He tried himself. And I see this poor man, and he tries to shuffle himself. And he's lying there upon that bed, and he's shuffling, trying to get to the water. And the angel stirred. He says, while I'm coming, somebody steps in before. Is that how you're trying to get to heaven, friend? Well, I'm coming. You're trying yourself. You're trying to work your way to heaven. You're trying to appease an angry God by all the efforts that you do. Lastly, there's the physician's cure. Look at verse 8. Jesus said unto him, listen to this. Rise. Take up thy bed and walk. See, the man acknowledged he wanted to be made whole. He had tried other men, but they couldn't help him. He tried to shuffle himself, but he couldn't make it. Yes, Lord. I want to be made whole. I've been trying for years. Is there somebody like that in Palamoni tonight? Say, preacher, oh, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Oh, I've tried. I've tried. But I can never make it. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the word of power. Because it's what it says. Jesus saith unto him, his cure came through the word of God. And Christ spake, and it was done. His healing didn't come by his own struggling. His healing did not come by his own efforts. Thank God it was the power of Christ. He had been lying for 38 years. You know what Christ said to him? He says, rise, take up your bed. Friend, that was impossible. Do you think this man, if he could have got up? He tried to struggle to make his way into the water for years, and now the Lord Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed, and Lord Jesus Christ doing? Let me tell you this. Thank God it was impossible for man. But the one who said rise, thank God his command was his enabling. First Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And Jesus says, rise. What a transformation, friend. Getting up for the first time in 38 years. His sickness had laid him low. Thank God Jesus lifted him up. His command. The Lord Jesus said, the Word of God says, that God said, let there be light, and there was light. For his command, he spake, rise. And then you'll notice something else. He says, take up thy bed, roll up your bed. Roll up that wee bed that you've got. Roll it up. Notice, it wasn't a suggestion Jesus made. It was a command. He says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Do you know why, white friend? Because he didn't need that bed there anymore. He wasn't lying there anymore. There was going to be no relapse. For praise God, he was going to go away. Never to return back there anymore. Healed. To live differently. The Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And Jesus says, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. In other words, go forward. You're here long enough. Here's the proof of the full recovery, friend. He walked. Look, verse 9. Immediately, the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and he walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. And one last little thought. Notice this. Where did he walk to? Down in verse number 14. Jesus findeth him in the temple. He made his way to the house of God. And I believe, let me tell you, when God changes a man and when God saves a man, he'll want to be among the fellowship of God's people. He'll want to be among the people of God when he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he walked to the house of God to give thanks. And thank God he turned to the Jews and he said, you ask me, who was it healed you? His name. You can be saved tonight. Thank God Jesus can change your life, friend. It is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others. He can do for you. And Jesus said to the man, wilt thou be made whole? I pray, God, tonight that the Spirit of God will make you willing. That the Spirit of God will draw you to Christ himself. Because there's no one can save you but Jesus. We sing the wee hymn. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come. Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you? It's invitation time. May the Spirit of God draw you to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word tonight. We pray that Thou will write it in every heart. Pray that men and women will see their lost estate in the sight of Thee, a righteous and a holy God. Pray that our God, You'll open their eyes, Give sight to the blind, and oh, to those that are crippled by sin. Oh, that thou will come with a blessed healing, with healing in thy wings. For those, our God, that are withered in their hands, and they have tried their best to work, and yet, our God, their hands are useless, because they cannot work their soul to save. Oh, God, show sinners tonight. They need Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The one who shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary. The one who died for guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinners. And may they cry out to him tonight. O Lamb of God, I come. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, the meeting's over in a moment. Can I ask you that question one last time? Wilt thou be made whole? The Savior's passing this way tonight. Maybe you've heard this message for years. And yet, friend, you're still in your sin. May God give you grace to come to him. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and God's people are praying. Can I make a simple invitation? If there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a young person, or older person, God has spoken to your heart and you say, preacher, I know I need to be saved. I've been rejecting God's Son for years, spurning God's call to my heart. But tonight I say in my heart, O Lamb of God, I come. Lead me to Christ. Maybe there's a backslider. And just like that man, Jesus knew he'd been lying there for 38 years. Tell me, how many years have you been away from him? How many years have you been wandering in bypath meadows? He knows all about you. Praise God, he calls you to come home. If there's one in the closing second, you say, sinner or backslider, preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I wonder, would you lift your hand right now, friend, towards heaven? Just slip it into the air. Indicate that desire. O Lamb of God, I come. O God, I pray in Jesus' name. Give deciding grace. O God, we pray that men and women will not walk away from the blessed Son of God, but they'll run to Christ for mercy and for his so great salvation. In Jesus' name.